Seated. St. Luke chapter 11, verse 16. And others, tempting him, sought of him a sign from heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And others, tempting him, sought a sign from heaven. My text today, I think, is strange. We read first that our Lord has healed a man possessed by a devil. The physical manifestation of this possession was the fact that he was dumb. He cannot speak. The result of the healing is that he can speak. That event was public and widely noticed, so that the people wondered at the healing. The crowd is amazed at what Christ has done, and that in and of itself is not strange at all. It's quite understandable. You see someone healed, that's wonderful. We're told that our Lord's enemies attribute the power he has to heal to the devil, to some evil spiritual influence. They say he casteth out the devils by Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. A Beelzebub, Hebrew word, Beel is Baal, the Canaanite god, chief god. Probably originally the name was Beelzebul, God or Lord of the house, and the Jews turned it to Beelzebub, which means Lord of the flies. And thus the title of the book, right, the novel. Much of what follows in our lesson is our Lord's response to this particular charge that he casts out devils or has spiritual power because he himself is devilish. That's the sort of thing, though, that enemies might say of someone they hate, that he's devilish, so that it also is not strange. The strange thing is the other reaction that different people have towards the healing. The second reaction is my text. Others, tempting of him, sought a sign from heaven. Now, I think that is strange. Our Lord has just healed a man in a spectacular way. And yet some people want from him a sign. Well, what was the healing they just saw? Chopped liver, right? Surely the healing was a sign. Why do they ask for a sign when they've just seen one? So what's going on here? To understand this problem, we need to think about what a sign is. A sign is not the same thing as a miracle. A miracle is a supernatural event, a suspension of the normal laws of nature, the normal course of things, by some supernatural cause. If St. Teresa of Avila appears simultaneously in two different places, that's a miracle. A sign, though, is something that points to something else. A sign signifies. It has a meaning which has to be understood. So the sign has to be interpreted. An eight-sided red piece of metal at a street corner means stop. That's a sign. We know what it means. It's a conventional sign. We all agree it means stop. There's nothing intrinsic about eight-sided pieces of metal. Red gets our attention, but it's a sign because we know how to interpret it. And the policeman will have something to say if we don't behave in accordance with the proper meaning of the sign. So some signs are miracles, but some signs aren't. Stop sign is not a miracle, but there are miracles which are signs. Likewise, there are miracles that aren't signs. God may suspend the laws of nature and heal someone of cancer without that person ever knowing it, and then it's not a sign, it's a miracle. It's wonderful, but it's not something that is wondered at. It's not something that signifies because it's not interpreted. It's not recognized and interpreted correctly. So, too, the perfection of a piece of music may point us to God. That would be a sign of God's majesty and his power. A beautiful sunset may be a sign. There's nothing miraculous about a sunset, nothing miraculous about a piece of music, natural things. But they can signify a point beyond themselves. So some signs are miracles, some signs aren't. Some miracles are signs, some aren't. Now, normally, our Lord's miracles were signs. And in St. John's Gospel, where there are only seven miracles, they are called signs. They point to his glory, his divinity, his power, his compassion. When our Lord changes water into wine at the wedding feast, we are told at the end of that story, this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. That miracle was a sign for his disciples of the glory of Jesus. The King James Version then goes on to say, this beginning of miracles did Jesus at Cana of Galilee. The word translated there as miracles in Greek, though, is signs. This beginning of signs did Jesus at Cana of Galilee. And the word in my text today is the same word in the Greek. Others tempting him sought of him a sign from heaven. Same word as in that lesson about Cana of Galilee. Changing water into wine was a sign as well as a miracle because it pointed the disciples in the right direction so that they believed on him. So, this explains the problem in our lesson today. Our Lord has most certainly worked a miracle when he healed the man who could not speak. But our Lord's enemies failed to understand the meaning of what has happened. It doesn't point them to faith. It fails to signify for them what it should. They don't get the point. They don't see where the sign is pointing. They wonder and are amazed, but they do not believe on Christ and see his glory hidden through underneath, just underneath the surface of the event. Now, our Lord explains this a bit later in this chapter, just after the point where our lesson ends. In verses 29 and 30 of Luke 11, Christ says, "This is an evil generation. They seek a sign, and there shall no sign be given it, but the sign of Jonas the prophet. For Jonas was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation." Again, what's going on there? The prophet Jonah in the Old Testament condemned the people of Nineveh as sinners, and they accepted his preaching and repented. What our Lord is saying here is that the people who see his miracles, particularly that miracle of healing we've just read about, failed to understand its point. They failed to read the sign correctly. Our Lord's sign points to his glory, and that in turn shows the legitimacy of his call to repent and convert. Our lesson tells us that the people saw the miracle and were amazed, but they do not then conclude that they should pay attention to Jesus and what he says. Instead, they either condemn him as a devil, or they want him to do more miracles, as if he were an entertainer. This misunderstanding of Christ, he condemns strenuously. It is the tendency, he says, of an evil generation. The people who see the miracle either condemn him or they trivialize him for asking for more stunts. The second group want to be titillated and amazed. More, more. Show us another sign. Do another thing. What's your next trick? But our Lord says, there shall no sign be given them. No more miracles. They will only get the sign of Jonas. And that was not a miracle. It wasn't a miraculous sign. It was one of those signs that wasn't a miracle. And what was it? It's a warning, a prophetic warning. Christ has done his miracle. Now the people should get the point and move on. So too with us. God has dealt with us plainly and consistently. He's given us plenty of signs and evidences of his care and love. He may or may not give us more signs of the sort we would like. But, then again, he may only give me the sign of Jonas, the call to repent and enter his kingdom in humility and obedience. It's not for us to tempt God and try his patience by demanding that he entertain or obey us. Our duty is to accept and follow him. To that end, our lesson today is a sign and a warning of what God calls us to give him. He himself is the sign pointing to heaven. We require nothing more. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen.